Hey, it's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, it's our weekly check-in on presidential campaign politics with Harry Enten from 538.com.
First, Milwaukee saw protests and violence erupt over the weekend after a police officer shot and killed a man on Saturday. Police sources have said the man was armed. Since then, questions about police relations and the city's racial divisions are back in the spotlight.
23-year-old Silval Smith was fatally shot by a 24-year-old Milwaukee police officer, also an African-American man. The police department has placed the officer on administrative leave and has not yet released his name. His name and picture have been shared on social media, and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel later confirmed his identity.
Joining us now to tell us more is Gina Barton. She's the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's criminal justice investigative reporter and has been covering the events in Milwaukee's Sherman Park neighborhood. Gina, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Gina, unrest in Milwaukee seems to have simmered down since the weekend, but it sounds like there's an opposite story taking place on social media with things ramping up. What's been happening there?
During the past several days, we've seen lots of people on social media threatening not only this particular police officer, but also the police in general. As of late yesterday, more than 3,000 people on Facebook had shared a photo of the officer, some of them adding furious and threatening comments.
And along the way, in your coverage of this story, the Journal Sentinel made the decision to identify the officer involved, even though the Milwaukee Police Department hasn't released his name. How did you make that decision?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question. It was a really long process that involved about 10 people having a conversation for an hour about what we do. And generally, we don't wait on the police to release information if we can confirm it. I mean, if we waited on that, we wouldn't be able to report a lot of the things we report that are worth reporting. So once we had confirmation of the name, not only from the social media posts, but also from several other sources, we had a discussion about it. And in the end, we concluded that we were not going to print the picture because if people who didn't know what he looked like, we didn't want to give them that information. But in the end, thousands of people are putting out his photo, his name, some of them even his address. Everybody in the neighborhood knows who he is. Everybody who wants to threaten him is threatening him by name and with his picture. So we wanted to tell the citizens about the threats faced by the officer. We wanted to hold government officials accountable in responding to those threats. And under state law, the officer's name will come out once the investigation is concluded.
And because you know who he is, you were able to research his relationship with the community. What did you find?
And we're still doing some more work on that. But what we find is that he grew up in the Sherman Park neighborhood and that he and the man he shot over the weekend did know each other. We don't know how well they knew each other. We don't know if they were friends or whether it was just a simple acquaintanceship, but they did know each other. And one took the path toward law enforcement, and the other one, you know, seemed to take a different path.
And so the threats you mentioned toward this officer, are they directed mostly at him personally, or has this taken on a broader scope toward police in general?
Well, there was no way that we could read every single one, although we tried. but there were some very specific threats as, you know, now you all see his face. If he's anywhere in the city, drop him. Or, you know, get me a gun so I can shoot him right in the head. So those were some really specific threats. And then some other of the threats and comments were directed toward police in general. You know, we want an eye for an eye, no more peace, that kind of stuff. And I think it's important to note that on Monday afternoon, the District 7 police station was briefly closed because of threats and shots being fired nearby.
Gina Barton from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is with us right now to give us the latest on the aftermath of the police shooting that sparked violence in Milwaukee over the weekend. And Gina, you've been telling us about some of these threats shared on social media along with the identity of the officer involved. How seriously is the police department taking these threats?
Well, they tell us that they're taking them very seriously and that they have detectives working on it. part of the issue I think that they're going to need to get to the bottom of is people aren't using their own names, and a lot of these Facebook accounts don't have their real names on them. But I think it will probably be possible for them to figure out who these people are making the threats. And not that long ago, there was a man in Racine who was charged and convicted for making threats against police on social media. So there is precedent for it.
There's precedent. Does that happen often, or is it still pretty rare?
Well, doing our research yesterday, we only came across a couple of cases, one of them local. But so I would say it's pretty rare for this area. But then again, the kind of thing that happened over the weekend is really unusual for this area also. So I think the game has changed now.
Now that the officer's identity is out there, it's on social media, it's been published in the Journal Sentinel, for instance, does this put pressure on the Milwaukee Police Department, do you think, to release more information, maybe not even just the identity of the officer, but also the footage from the body camera, for instance?
Well, and that's another thing that we're hearing today is people in the community are really frustrated that the footage from the body camera hasn't been released yet. And their view is, if this really shows that Smith had a gun and was pointing it at the officer, why aren't they showing it to us? They could put all of this to rest just by showing us the proof of what they're saying. On the other hand, the police generally do not release body cam or squad cam footage until after the investigation is complete, and that's for a lot of reasons. I think an additional reason here is because this footage, no matter what it shows about the interaction between the officer and the citizen, does show the moments of a man being shot to death. And that is a really emotional thing to see. And I think part of the fear might be that they you know, think there could be further unrest if people viscerally react to seeing film of that.
How vocal has the Smith family been about the shooting? What have they been saying?
Well, I don't think the Smith family is speaking of one as one. The night that this all happened, his mother and his aunt were out in the street trying to get people to calm down and, you know, to not cause trouble, to not use violence. But then there have been some other interviews that other family members have done where they're just angry. And so I think obviously their anger is really justified. And I think that city officials and people in the neighborhood really have a challenge in front of them to try and make sure that everybody remains calm as the investigation continues.
And you've been following this story, have been reporting on it in the context of the community and its history. How would you describe the nature of this relationship now and in the past between police and this particular neighborhood?
Well, Sherman Park was once a fairly thriving neighborhood filled with factory workers, you know, working class, but they were able to make a living wage and generally considered a pretty stable, somewhat prosperous neighborhood. I would say in about the past 5 years, that's deteriorated a little bit. Obviously, the loss of manufacturing jobs happened before that, but in recent years, there have been more conflicts. About 5 years ago, there was another somewhat violent confrontation between citizens and police. Didn't rise to the level of this one, but you know, it was kind of scary for a lot of people. And there have also been interactions between some of the business owners who don't live in that community and the residents. There was the owner of the BP, in fact, fired a gun into the air maybe a couple of weeks or months ago to try and get some unruly youths away from the store, and everybody took that pretty personally. So it's been simmering for a while.
Gina, thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome.
That was Gina Barton. She's the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's criminal justice investigative reporter, and she was with us there to give us the latest on the aftermath of the police shooting that sparked violence in Milwaukee over the weekend.